This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, October 20th edition of Byers & Company. Dave Wendt joins us, one of the village trustees in Forsyth. I got to tell you, Dave, I laughed out loud, not that your email was funny, but when you referred to your economic development coordinator as just Jake, it reminded me of a State Farm commercial.
Yeah, I guess I maybe got too familiar there. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I just saw the red polo, you know what I mean? And he was ready to go. All right.
I'll have to tell him that.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. I don't know if this drag racing is a thing, but I know you talked about people contacting you about this. What's happening with this in the park there?
Well, you know, I think every community has to deal with it from one time or another. People get bored and they want to, behave in a way that's not appropriate. So a big shout out goes out to our sheriff's department because, they took the phone calls from residents and phone call and email from me. And it seems like it's eased up a bit. It's one of those, we want to have everybody, welcome everybody to Forsyth and our parks and streets, but we want you to, follow the law and doing about 90 miles an hour down Weaver Road was not appropriate and not something I want to see from my back porch when I see the cars go flying by.
All right. You made that sound like they were all outsiders. Is that the case?
No, I'm just saying that, I'm not making any accusations of whether it's Forsyth kids or adults or outside of Forsyth. I don't know for sure. I just know that, the sheriff's department's been busy, that. And then we had a truck lose part of its load on 51 yesterday. So if anybody wondered why you saw forklifts out on driving down 51, it was cleaning up after that.
I got you.
The sheriff's department's been busy.
Okay. Well, of course, our law enforcement, I think, across our community does an amazing job, including the sheriff's department.
I can't say enough.
Yeah. And maybe, I hear there's a trial at the end of the month. We'll actually know who the sheriff's going to be.
About the time for the next election.
Yeah, that's just insane to me, but on it goes. All right, what else is going on as far as there's new ownership of the mall? Give me the lowdown on this.
Well, my understanding is the note on the mall property was bought by this new entity, Namdar Properties. So the parent company that owns the mall and other properties around the country had filed for bankruptcy or were preparing to file for bankruptcy. I don't think they had officially filed yet. But before that happened, they sold the mall property to Namdar Properties. If you review their website, they have other open-air malls and traditional closed malls in different areas around the country. So, encouraged to see some action there as far as maybe some new blood, some new ownership. Jake will be busy getting in touch with them and talking to them about how we can work with them on whatever their plans are for the property. So we'll see where we go from there. But I know that's one of the things that ever since I've been on the board, citizens and people like yourself have asked me as far as what's going on with the mall, and we continue to try and encourage business there however we can.
Well, it's encouraging, right? I mean, there was interest in the property.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's still a valuable piece of property. Our traffic counts are just huge as far as what goes by on 51 as well as what goes by on 72. So, whoever the ownership is, whatever happens with that property, it's still valuable retail property. So
All right. That's
my encouraging side of it or maybe optimistic view.
I think that, because it happens so quickly, I mean, there's clearly people who see value long term, which hopefully means a little more creative way of trying to get people, out there to continue to support it. All right. And then I love this. Please don't take this the wrong way. I love small towns and I love the things that you get to deal with as an elected official in small towns. And that means people parking vehicles on the grass instead of a concrete driveway. Please explain to me why the Planning and Zoning Committee was worried about this.
Well, it's one of those things where when you have variance ordinances, we have our development ordinances that cover new development. We have our regular zoning ordinances. And as you go through, different people go through and review those, or as different questions come up about what's okay, what's not okay, or somebody has a complaint about one thing or another, you end up finding inconsistencies between the ordinances. And so as much as we've tried to make it more efficient in our codification, sometimes we have to come back and the procedure that's prescribed in our our rules is the Planning and Zoning Commission has the public hearing about that, so anybody can voice their opinion, and then they make a recommendation and bring that to the board. So really for this one, it was just making sure in two different parts or two different areas of our ordinances that our definitions and our wording was consistent.
All right. What is a recreational vehicle? What is the new clarification?
Oh, I'd have to make sure that we defined it as different types of campers, boats on trailers, that, there's a lot more stuff out there when you go to World of Power Sports or other businesses as far as your recreational vehicles. So making sure that we had a definition in there that covered all of them.
All right. One thing you guys are addressing, which I think is an important thing the community at large should be looking at, are these donation boxes. I see this stuff, and I've done some, and I'm not going to name any by names, but I've done some research and looking into some of this stuff. Sometimes this takes away from helping our own charities here at home. How do these boxes just show up places?
That's part of what we put these special use requirements for them, because literally I've talked to business owners that say that we came in one morning and it was in the parking lot. We don't know who put it there. We don't know who they got permission from, if they got permission. I've done some research myself, and some of these companies are actually for-profit companies. They're not charities or anything like that. So that was an effort that through some discussion that we said, hey, we're not going to charge a fee. We're just going to say we have to have a name and registration and basically register the name and phone number of whoever's putting that box in. So that if there is a overflow that it hasn't been picked up and you've got stuff laying everywhere, or I've seen a few of them that are busted open and just laying there as look more like garbage than donation boxes, that we have a contact number. I don't know if that means that some of these companies won't bother anymore, or if they'll just ignore the ordinance, but then that allows us to remove them legally if they don't follow our procedures.
Yeah, it gives you some teeth. That certainly makes sense. All right, the controversy of the day in Forsyth, tennis versus pickleball.
It's not a controversy. I'd love to have so many people coming in saying we have so many people wanting to play tennis and pickleball that we need to build some more courts. So the original plan was to build dual use courts, and then based upon getting some citizen feedback and being flexible and listening, we decided that we'll make the new court that the blacktop is laid, the court painting is down. We're just waiting for the net, and the fencing came in, but we heard from our public works director last night that it was damaged on the truck, so they have to reship the fencing. And then the single court that we had, we're in the process of converting that to be four pickleball courts. So now you won't have any conflict on the dual use courts as far as who gets to use it when. And it'll also be easier because you won't be making net changes or moving equipment on and off and having to store that. So single purpose in this case seems to be the better situation and a good compromise.
I'm just trying to imagine sort of the Hatfields and the McCoys of like the pickleball people and the tennis people showing up and having some sort of Jets and Sharks moment.
Hey, we had two doubles teams from Royal Forsyth High School that took second and third in the state tournament in tennis just over the weekend. So tennis is big, but pickleball, everything I hear, is big and growing as well.
All right. Well, congratulations to them, and well-deserved. All right. You also address compensation for village board trustees. Now, you guys will have some seats and some things open in the spring election, correct?
Correct. Three of the board seats will be up for the normal four-year end of term, as well as the mayor will be up for election in the spring. So under state law, if we're going to make any changes to elected official compensation, we have to do that 180 days before the new officials would take office. So we had to have that discussion and that decision, and we decided to leave it the same. I believe David Stroll told us that we haven't changed it since 2008.
What is the compensation for a trustee?
It's a great big $2,500 a year, and you never want to do the math to take that divided by the number of hours that you work, because you'll come out with a very small hourly wage.
Yeah, you're in a deficit probably, I would imagine.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dave, have a great day. Thank you, as always, for the update, and we appreciate it. Dave Wendt, one of the Village trustees.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.